let us then also start by confessing that, and we'll do so by singing a psalm, Psalm 121, sentences 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you can find the words written out in your program. Let us now turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly God and Father, it is as we sang. Today, once again, we lift our eyes to you. We lift our eyes on high with that question, from where will our help come? And Father, we thank you that you give us your word to guide us with the wonderful assurance that you are near us, that you will never forsake us, but guide us ever. Be with us also, always. And we thank you how that is the comfort that we may also find today. And we thank you that has also been the comfort as found in the life of our sister Steinhoekstra. Yes, that even today as we consider the past months and truly also how she battled cancer in many ways, became weaker and weaker, yet we may now have that wonderful assurance that she is received in glory, gone to you in the readiness and confidence of faith, knowing that there is a destination, an entrance into your courts, an entrance into your house. That is where Christ will bring us and has brought her. Father, we find in you the one who is the Lord and giver of life. And that as you are the Lord who gives it, so you also take it away at its time. Albeit then also be, as we turn to your word and spirit, we may find comfort from you, the God of all comfort, and find wonderful promises of life and blessing in them, especially as those who now remain to grieve and feel that sense of loss, may we find much richness in your word. And so bless us all this afternoon and give us all that we need. We ask you all this in Christ's name alone. Amen. One of the texts that was read with our sister Sinuksha in the last couple of days of her life came from Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. And so I've been asked by the family, too, to prepare a message on these verses. So we'll turn to them now. And for those who wanted to read along, you can find that you can look it up in your Pew Bible. And in your Pew Bible will be found on page 1119. So Romans 8. Verses 31 through 39. There's a number of questions in these verses, and we'll focus on especially one of them this afternoon. So verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before we move on to the wonderful hope also found in these verses, let's now sing also of life to come and the wonderful glory in which we are gathered in by our Father. And so we'll sing hymn 43, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6. beloved family, friends, and brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses that we've just read in Romans chapter 8, perhaps some of the highlights of the whole book, the whole letter of the Romans. Even as we read these verses, every time at least I read them, I personally will always picture Paul dictating, because we know he dictated this letter, and doing so as he maybe paces the room and speaks passionately. That he is so overwhelmed and so convinced of God's incredible love, and it just seems like he wants to, in some way, as much as possible, convince us of the same thing as far as he can by using words. And as such, it's a wonderful passage for a day like today. By its very nature, as we come to a funeral, as we go to a graveside, these things just kind of tend to stop us in our tracks. It's going to be a different day for all who are involved. When we ponder life, we ponder death, we look to our own lives, we look to loved ones, and we perhaps take that time to take stock. And we also know how easy it is, though, when we face these questions, to just end up looking inward, maybe downward. I don't know really where to go from there. In our passage, these verses in Romans 8 provide us with kind of this panorama view, mountaintop view, overlooking the valleys, overlooking all of it to gain some perspective, to find some truth, to find some comfort. So we'll try to do that also as we look at these verses, to get that panorama view. So what do we see in Romans 8? Well, we're presented with a number of strong questions. But to focus on one of the central ones, Paul asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, embedded in that question is a very natural understanding that we really don't want to or can't be separated from the things that we love. We all have things that we love, and we do not want to be separated from them. And the other way around, sometimes you may just know what people love because you see them with them all the time. You can't be separated from them because they love them. And I know many of you who come here, we may perhaps have fond memories of things that were always there in Stein's life or in her character, and showed some of perhaps the things that she loved. And the better that you knew her, the more that's the case. Things that may just be automatically connected to your mom, to your spouse, to your grandma. Those are things that she loved. Personally, I know the family was hoping to get a print here with her and Bandit. I know this always reminds me of the fact that when we had, for those who don't know, we had parking lot church for a while, and Jake and Stein and Bandit would all attend in the car, inseparable in a way, so that Bandit would come to church too. And occasionally he would entertain the grandkids and also sometimes peek his head out of the window during usually pre-service anyways. Many others can mention things that Stein loved. As you read the obituary, the things that she put her effort into, built, setting up businesses, running them as much as she can, like New Horizons, till as long as she really needed to run the business. Helping others, training even in that. And so it was also no surprising that in some ways, now that I know her a little bit better also, that as you would visit her and talk about her sciatic pain and how difficult it was, yet also there she was knitting for people, children in Mexico, that they may have hats and warm toques and the like. Being busy, something she loved, and also helping others. You could probably expand on that. As much as possible in this life, we seek to hang on to those things that we love and the people that we love. Now, the difficult thing is also that in this life we face so much separation, loss. Thankfully, not all the time, but that is the reality that brings us to a day like today. And what makes this thing also so real and difficult, it's a loved one who is missed. And we feel that separation that comes with the death of a spouse, of a mother, grandmother, or a friend. And just so many things that might separate us in this life from people and things that we love, so our text is actually honest about that. And maybe then also ask that question, is there something that may threaten, separate us from the love of Christ? It mentions all kinds of things, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword. Yes, it even says that we face death, as it quotes Psalm 44. That in one way or another, we all face these kind of things in life. And they separate us from the things that we love. In the case of Stein, through months of battling cancer, it's also very clear how true that is. All the things that she loved, she also had to give up sooner or later. Some sooner, others later. It's a process also that we face in life, ourselves. And at the end, we also seem to have to let go of all of it. As it says, that death too separates us from the things that we love. And Paul just asked that question. If that is so real, and so our experience in this world, would it be right to think that then these things could also separate us from the love of Christ? Well, we haven't really gotten to the panorama view yet. And if the text may be ended there, and with that question, we may even as Christians know the answer and saying like, no, of course not, nothing can separate us, but maybe still feel empty. But Paul goes on, and he answers this question with as much certainty as he can muster. The real beauty, the real comfort, the real hope is found in those wonderful verses 37 through 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, no, nothing could ever separate us from the love of Christ. In fact, in the most surprising way, he's going to say, if as we face troubles, as we face dangers and the sword, yes, and even death, yes, we may experience loss, we may experience defeat and helplessness. And he says, yet then you are more than conquerors. So absolutely strong, so absolutely certain is the love of Christ that you could throw the whole world at it, the whole gamut of creation. And he says, all earthly forces, all spiritual forces, and still Christ's love for us wouldn't budge. And Paul knew this from his own life. He faced it all in some way. Trouble, hardship, danger, illnesses, they may seem to take so much from us. Yeah, they may even at times seem to threaten our bond with Christ. Yet we are still more than conquerors. Why? Because we know that even if this all happens in some wonderful gospel way, it just draws us closer to Christ. It can happen in different ways, but it happens nonetheless. We face challenges. As Christians, we face them in faith. And they end up transforming us. They make us more like Christ. Christ who faced challenges. Christ who faced death and walked by faith through them all. And the more that we are like him and act like him, the more we become like him. And so his love for us increases and our love for his. Or maybe that in this life, as things are taken away from us, we learn to rely just on Christ that much more. Because our support, because our various objects of love, because these crutches are taken away. And we realize that there's, at the end of the day, just that love of Christ to hold on to. And on top of it all, in Paul's mind as well, it just cannot be separated from his love. He can't be defeated. Because, yes, even if you send the greatest enemy, death, yes, defeated by Christ, but not destroyed, not crushed, it may end up separating us from so many things that we love in this life. It that can't separate us from the love of Christ, because itself, death, becomes the very door, the very passage in which we are accepted into his love. So whether it conforms us to Christ, whether it helps us rely on Christ, whether it in the end brings us to Christ, it just ends up making that love for Christ greater, deeper, stronger, and anchoring us in it. So that's why he says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? He says, absolutely nothing. It cannot. Only advance it. That's why through it all we are more than conquerors. You start to see some of the mountaintop view that God gives us in these words. How he really seeks to anchor us with that vision through all of life's storms. Saying like basically that, yes, even in the worst days, this truth, it will hold, it will stand. That our comfort in this life isn't that we can hold on to certain things that we love and make sure that we're not separated from them. Because we can't. The reality of sin and death is even the fact that we often mess up in the things that we love, especially when it comes to relationships, and that we just don't have the strength to hold on to those things. That even our loving is done in much weakness and brokenness, and that we just always need more grace, more strength. It's not the comfort that we can hold on to the things that we love, but that we're so deeply loved by one who will hold on to us. It says, with my great love, you'll never be separated from me. The real view from this mountaintop is just that, the love of Christ. It shouldn't surprise us. It's the heart of the Bible. It's the heart of the gospel. It is the firm foundation on which we stand today. Love that is so great and just indestructible, so focused, because it is just the Son of God himself who loves us. The one who has power to save us even from the deepest depths of sin, as even from the deepest depths of the grave and death. Defeating death in all of its forms, physical as well as spiritual. A love that is so gracious, wonderfully gracious. Because it's God who first loved us while we were still sinners. There's nothing in that we did that we may deserve his love. So nothing also that now can threaten that relationship. God knew full well what he was getting himself into as he loved us. And he continues to call all those who are sinners and wish to seek his and know his love. He calls them to believe. All of us, so we may know his love today. Great love, a gracious love, a sacrificial love. I paid the price for sin in separation already. And Christ died on the cross. Yes, he underwent a far greater separation than of all the things that he loved, this Father that he loved so deeply, so that we may now know that we are forever secure in his love. And an eternal love, where God has set his eyes on us from the beginning, from before the creation of the world. He'll not let anything past, present, or future get in between. Whatever may happen, it cannot threaten his love. Even time. Time that seems to change so many things, almost all things, it cannot change the love of Christ for us. So as I come to the end, let's think of those words of the hymn. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward, to thy gracious, glorious rest above. The love that we experience today is in all amazement also just a fraction of what our sister Stein gets to enjoy already. Like the hymn may say, swept up by the love of Christ, she has made come to her glorious rest above. And so let us from this mountaintop today find peace, assurance, incredible comfort. As the apostle says, no one, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen. The wonderful love of the Good Shepherd. And so then we'll also sing Psalm 23. We'll sing the stanzas there printed also in the program. And maybe we'll also rise for that in this song.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming, whether here or online. For those that don't know me, my name is Daniel, and this is my younger sister, Anita.
Thank you. You got it right.
We're honored today to do the eulogy today for Mom. So, Anita, you can start.
Hey, thank you, and I'm glad he got it right that I am the younger sister. This eulogy is on behalf of all of Mom and Dad's 9 kids. So our mother was born February 21, 1951, in the small village of Kommerzijl, which is in Groningen, the Netherlands. Her parents were Liepke Hellinga and Gerrit Dina Hellinga Haxma. She had 2 brothers and sisters, and she is the 4th child. She grew up in Holland and attended school in Kommerzijl and Grijpskerk. A funny story I remember is her telling me about how much she disliked English class in school. She told her teacher emphatically that she had no reason to learn that ridiculously S-T-U-P-I-D language, as she would never use it in her life. Well, fast forward a number of years, she saw her old English teacher sitting behind her in church one day in Smithers. She told me she was so embarrassed she wished she could sink through a hole in the floor. That must have been very embarrassing. But I'm sure her English teacher would have been proud of how proficient she became in the use of the English language. Mom married Dad January 2nd, 1968, in the Netherlands. They were, through their lifetime, members of a number of churches in the Canadian Reformed churches called other things in other countries. So it was the Vrijgemerkte Kerk in Kommerzijl and in Ulrum. And in Canada, of course, the Free Reformed churches in Smithers, Neerlandia, and Launceston, Lagana, and Vernon. Our parents began their married life in Holland before immigrating to Canada in 1970. They first lived in British Columbia and then Alberta for 16 years before immigrating again, this time to Tasmania, Australia, where they lived for 12 years before coming back to Canada and settling in Vernon in 1997.
Now you can see why I got my sister to go first. There's a lot of Dutch language in there. I didn't have the all down pat. While we were young, Mom was a homemaker. On the family farm, she also helped to look after farm animals, goats and chickens, turkeys, pigs and cows and horses. She would make butter and cream from the goats and the cow's milk. It was not unusual to find baby goats, chicks, and even one time a horse in our basement that was sick and needed to be nurtured back to health. We also had many pets over the years. We rode horseback, attended horse shows, milked cows and goats, and collected eggs from our chickens, and raised various animals that were given to us by close farmers. Animals that were the runt of the litter and would have been put down otherwise had it not been for our parents taking them on to our hobby farm. Everything became a pet for us kids. We had a dog named Lucky, and then Lucky number 2. Not sure if there was number 3, until we finally got smart and changed the dog's name to Rex. For the poor dog's sake, they even raised ostriches at one point. Even though there was not a lot of money growing up, because there was a lot of us, we were blessed to enjoy family trips, camping trips, going to the beach, and of course, on every occasion, there was plenty of food. Our brother Jerry remembers Mom buying him a jersey once from a secondhand store that said Bombers on it. This is an Australian footy team. He had no idea who they were, but his friends asked him about it, and he said, "Yeah, I'm a fan." This made him very cool, and of course, he wore that jersey with pride. And another of our sisters really wanting a new pair of black jeans when we normally wore hand-me-downs. She begged for them, and Mom eventually bought them for her, even though this was not in the family budget. I remember telling my mom only a couple years ago that all the baking she and Anita had prepared for Anita's wedding was eaten by myself and my brothers. Mom asked me, "How did you get in?" It was under lock and key in the pantry. I told her that I crawled through the attic, then dropped down a hole in the ceiling, and unlocked the pantry door. From there, my brothers and I, we picked the freezer lock and enjoyed Mom's and Anita's baking.
Now I get the truth.
They were pretty angry when they found out about this, but Mom still went out and bought baking for the wedding. Who would have thought I could fit through a hole in the ceiling? We are still coming clean with this story and left out some of the details over the past number of years. We were never hungry growing up. And even when Mom was sick with cancer, she always offered food and pie to everyone that came in to visit the house.
Mom was a headstrong woman, strong and determined. If she wanted something done, it got done. She also taught us to be strong and resilient, providing us our core values and that family comes first. She was a woman of faith and taught us that God is at the center of everything, and we should always look to Him for guidance in our lives. We all, as siblings, have a lot of our mom in us, which is why we clashed at times, but which also gave us the tools to be independent. We will never forget one time, and many of the older kids would remember this, when both our parents played a prank on a couple of men who were living with us while working on a neighbor's farm for the summer. This was while we lived in Neerlandia, I believe. They were sleeping in a tent in the backyard, because of course our house was full of kids. Our parents decided we should play a prank on them as they were sleeping outside, and we would all tease them a lot about a bear possibly coming into their tent and enjoying them for dinner one day. Late one night, Dad and a friend draped themselves in a bear hide from one of Dad's hunting trips. Our dad started scratching the tent, slowly opening the zipper, and our mom hid behind the tent and put a doll close to the tent. It was a doll my sister and I both had. It was battery operated and it would cry. You have never seen two grown men jump out of their sleeping bags, tripping over the sleeping bags and each other so fast and make a beeline for the house in your life. The poor guys were terrified. Us older kids watched the whole thing and we laughed so hard. This prank still gets brought up decades later, and we still have a good laugh over it. You really had to be there. It was so funny.
In Australia, Mom drove the school bus. From there, she earned the reputation, Speedy Stancia. She was the fastest bus driver around, usually cutting the bus ride home from an hour and a half to at least an hour and 10 minutes. She even slapped a DOT officer once for following her persistently. She went to see his boss to sort it out, and she never did get a ticket. That would have been quite the sight. Later, she worked part-time in the hotel service industry in Grindelwald, which was a Swiss village close to our home. After moving back to Canada, she had bought made-to-clean services and expanded the company to 12 employees, and after 7 years, she sold the business. She then studied to get her commercial Class 1 driver's license to go trucking with Dad. She got her air ticket, and then suddenly she foresaw she might end up being sent out on her own, so she did not proceed with her plans. Oh dear, can you imagine Mom driving a big rig? When Dad quit trucking, she joined him in installing kitchens. The two of them became the sought-after husband and wife team to install kitchens throughout the region. While still busy installing kitchens, they started a new business venture, New Horizon RV Rentals. They grew the business over the next 15 years. She was the driving force behind the company, did all the organization and customer relations. They sold the business in 2021 for health reasons, and built a cottage on Dave's property.
Dad told another story about one of their winter trips where they and another couple in another vehicle were traveling through Moulège in Mexico. I probably said that wrong. They stopped for a bathroom break, and the friend parked where he was not supposed to, so that other vehicles could not get past. The police eventually came, and Mom was trying to get him out of getting a ticket, saying things like he was an old man, he desperately needed to go to the bathroom, and not to be too hard on him. She was succeeding quite nicely until he came out of the bathroom, and he took a different tone. Needless to say, he got the ticket. She told him he should have kept his mouth shut, and she would have been able to talk the officer out of giving him a ticket. So it was his own fault for getting one. Mom was a caring person, which could be seen through her volunteer work with homeless and vulnerable women. She took courses at the Stratford Career Institute in Drug and Alcohol Treatment and attended various purpose-driven life seminars. She was also extensively involved in community activities, some of which included volunteering at April House. It's no longer in existence in Vernon, but it was a home for abused women, and at the Vernon Shelter. Many a night she would stay over to enable the shelter to remain open. Some of the homeless people she took into her home for extended periods of time. For some, she found jobs to be gainfully employed, helped them to go shopping, and helped them learn how to prepare a meal.
Mom also organized a large fundraiser for a seriously ill infant of a church member. During the past couple of years, Mom and Dad got to enjoy time in Mexico during the Canadian winter months. One would think that they would be lazy after a busy RV rental season. But no, not our mom. She was involved in fundraising events to help those in need in Mexico. She participated in mission trips into the mountainous areas of the Baja California. She handed out hats, scarves, coats, and many other items to the poor and needy. She collected and distributed goods to the local old age home in Santa Rosalia. She also needed hats and scarves with one of her friends to take back to Mexico.
Our parents received a lot of support from family, friends, search and rescue members, and their church family. And we are very grateful and appreciative for the support everyone has given them. It meant so much for all of us to see her friends and church family wrap themselves around her during this difficult time. There are too many people to mention, but you know who you are. We would like to, though, say a special thanks to our parents' friends, Carl and Deborah, who were at the home just about every day looking after both our parents, from looking after Mom to feeding Dad, housework, grocery shopping, and just being there for support. We will never forget what you did for them. As Mom's friend Deborah says, our Stein was a fighter. She will certainly rest in peace. Mom wanted Deborah to write down some words from a conversation she and Deborah had talked about just last month. We meet people for a reason, for a season, or a lifetime. She met Jake for a lifetime. She met Carl and Deborah for a reason. And then there were multitudes of people she met for a season. Our mother never wanted to be a burden on anyone and told her father that she should go to hospice so as not to burden him with her care. We are very proud of the way that he looked after her. During the last months of her life, he did everything for her and did so graciously and with tremendous kindness, wanting her to be comfortable and to die with dignity in their own home.
As siblings, not all of us are able to attend today in person, but we're all here, either online or in person, and in your hearts. Due to complications in travel, due to COVID reasons, or other reasons. It has been hard watching our mother's health decline over the past 6 months. Seeing her from living her life to being bedridden was very difficult to see. She fought very hard to beat this disease. At the end of her life, she would not take her last breath until she had spoken to all 9 of her children, telling each of us that she had loved us. Each of us can treasure this memory as we move on with our lives. My mom died at the home in Spalmishing, B.C., January 1st, 2022, with family and friends at her side. Our parents were married a few hours under 54 years. Unless we go Australian time, then it's 54 years. We celebrated their 54th wedding anniversary together on January 1st. Together they had 9 children, 40 grandchildren, and 10 grand-great-children. She is no longer in pain. She is being restored and is now with her Savior in his loving arms. Thank you all for coming today in the memory of our mom, Oma and great-grandma, and the love of Dad's life. Thank you.
Before we move on, I know that I don't think there was anyone who had prepared any message or so, but I do want to extend the invitation from the family that maybe any of those stories jogged your memory or you had something that was on your mind or in your heart to also share. There is opportunity now for the mic and to share that then also with all of us. If that's not the case, then we'll also enjoy some music. David will play Amazing Grace for us, and then he'll also indicate when he transitions to How Great Thou Art, so that we may join in to sing that wonderful hymn. May Allah now lead you in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks. For yes, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus is what a blessing to find love also in this life, to have the wonderful blessings from your hand. We come to also praise you for that even greater blessing, that it is to be secure in your love for us, to be able to sing that it is well with my soul, that we have that love that sets us secure for in all of time, in all of creation, and whatever may be thrown against it, Father, that yet your love will prevail because of your Son. And we thank you for this love as you've shown it to our sister Stein. That is true how she too, through trials, illness, blessing, and joy, and now also finally through death, has entered the place of your love and may grant us all great comfort today and also as we feel the loss and separation in days to come. To be with her family, grant that comfort to those who will miss. Stein as wife and spouse, as mother, as grandmother, as friend, as sister in the Lord. Father, we give you thanks, as the family has, that Jake and the family were able to give Stein so much care and to be able to care for her at home. That was all done by your grace and strength. Now bless them also and give them much comfort and strength in the weeks and months ahead where that care no longer has to be given and where that loss is felt so deeply. We pray also for all of us. For Father, we recognize that COVID has not made it easy for many to say goodbye or travel. Grant comfort and peace to those who would have loved to have been here, would have loved to be able to have some more closure, to grieve and share in grieving with others, but can't do it in the same way as they wished. Watch over them and hold them also in your hand, whatever their circumstances may be. And above all, Father, we give you the glory for the life and faith that you've given our sister, because it makes us see your wonderful love. May that be that great comfort and assurance today and every day as we all experience your love walking with you. You as the good shepherd who leads us. And so watch over us also now as we move on to the graveside. To watch over us, grant us comfort from your word. Be near to us. And we ask you all of this in the name of the one who loves us so deeply. Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Now before we go from here, let us sing one more hymn. Let us rise for that. We'll sing hymn 66, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So in just a moment, I'll then invite also the funeral director to guide us and take over as we move over to the graveside service. And so also on behalf of the family, Jake and all, I would like to invite all of you who are here to also come to the graveside service. You find the program also at the back of the program that you've already received. And also let you know that there is a reception that will take place afterwards at Dave and Amanda's on McLennan Road, and you are also invited to that. I'll now also proceed to the graveside service.